Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb of my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Your dreams. I want you to call in and talk to me. Anyway, if you don't, I'm going to talk about Jackie Chan. Speaking of Jackie Chan, I do have a cat here that I adopted. Actually, she was a stray and she came upon me and I ended up feeding her. And she's actually my co-pilot and her name is Jackie Chan. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I have a cat named Jackie Chan Kitty. She's adorable and I just love her to death. She's a calico and she came upon my presence over a couple years ago. She just ended up showing up in my backyard and I ended up with the cat. Basically, it seems like in the past so many years, the way I get at animals, they just show up and I have a pet. Now, I must remind you, I mean, I'm originally from Boston, but I moved up here to Maine, and it's quite possible that there's many different types of animals that can show up in my backyard. And last year, I was not home. I was actually filming. And a moose, yes, ladies and gentlemen, a moose ended up showing up in my backyard, and I missed it. Now, just picture this. Someone from Boston, from the inner cities, you know, moving up to Maine, seeing this big, huge thing. I mean, moose, they are not this tiny creature. And I don't think they move that fast. I mean, I've never seen one really run, but if they are standing there, they're like a tank. So you always have to be careful when you're driving around like New Hampshire and Maine and a couple other states, because if you see a moose, you don't want to hit a moose because your car will be totally annihilated. But this moose ended up showing in my backyard. My neighbors and my superintendents were there, and they witnessed it just walking through the backyard. So right where the traffic was near my backyard, they had to tell the police to direct the traffic to let the moose go back into the river, because where I live in Maine is a river, and it's really beautiful in the back. It has like a little waterfall and such, and I feel really lucky that I can go and sit there and meditate and be able to do other things where it's very relaxing. And I do feel like I'm blessed living in a place where in your backyard you have your own little waterfall and just enjoying nature. And sometimes I take pictures of it and post on my Facebook. Well, I like to give a little promotion to my big brother, Ahura Zakor Deliza. Now, a lot of people call him Z, but he is doing a special event this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. It's the Paranormal Psychic Fair at Fort Knox in Prospect, Maine. I don't know where it is, just Google it, okay? It's Prospect, Maine. It's at 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. It's Saturday and Sunday, and you can meet with people who believe in things unusual. This unique event features psychics, ghost hunters, UFOologist, and featured speaker, Ahura Z. Deliza, natural telepath, metaphysician, and psychic policeman, and natural exorcist. And I guess when you go there, it says regular Fort admission and a $2 event donation, and it's hosted by the Friends of Fort Knox. So you can actually Google it if you want to do something different and check it out. And let me just say, my big brother, he actually is a real thing. And people are always asking me, you know, to how much is his readings and such. And I don't know how much his readings are. He has tarot card readings and many different things that he can do. But he can look at you and he just says something. And it's just like, you know, I mean, it's really amazing the stuff that he actually can tell people things. And they're like, oh, my gosh, Shelby, you're right. You just entered into the building. He just knows things. It's a natural ability he has. And I think he was born with it. He has a gift. And he is definitely, let me say, Ahura Zakor Deliza, he's a very honest man. He's very hardworking. And I give a lot of props to him because he not only does many different things, I know, not just with the psychic things with the tarot cards and many things. He runs a school. His whole family, Unicorn Cove, up in Westbrook, Maine, on Main Street, and you can Google that and find out. People are welcome to come in. They have a little shop. You walk in, it's a little shop. You can order things through them. They make things themselves. And look up Unicorn Cove in Westbrook, Maine, on Main Street. You can actually call them and talk to them and, you know, just go up and see them. You can stop by, and I think they're open Tuesdays till Saturday. I could be wrong. It's, I think, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. usually Tuesday to Friday. The hours on Saturday might be different because sometimes we're filming now for a film called Sal Care. And I have to say I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very blessed. I really know and understand it's going to take a lot of hard work. And I'm very excited about the horses and the horseback riding. And, yes, I do know Sal Care is about four women. And I'm one of those four women, and we come from different time periods. And when Laura does a film, what he actually does, he looks at someone, he writes a part for them. He knows what suits them, and that's why it works so well. Another good thing about a horror, what he believes with women, he doesn't think that they have to be scantily clad to be in a film, to be a lead. And he also believes just because, you know, a man steps into a scene, why does the woman have to be weak? I mean, you've got to know what I'm talking about in films. When guys and women are in action films, I mean, sometimes it just shows, like, the woman can be strong. All of a sudden, a guy shows up, and she kind of loses her powers a little bit, and the guy is more powerful than the woman. Why does that have to be? I never could understand that, but the way Ahura does his films, he likes to show women can be strong, many different backgrounds. You could be skinny. I mean, you could be, different sizes. It doesn't matter. But if you have this natural ability to act and you're hardworking and you go to the set to work, a horror will actually, you know, put you on a film. But you have to be dedicated because from what I've seen over the past couple years, some people might want to be dedicated, but they kind of flake out. So, you know, it does take a long time to do a film because you have to keep rearranging things in a film. And I've seen this firsthand. I won't mention names or anything, but, you know, things like that does happen. The other good thing is Ahura is a composer. And I've seen him in action. I'm just like, you know, he's sitting there in the studio and just seeing what he does. I mean, this guy can just do so many different things, and it's on his keyboard, and I'm just like, I'm so astonished, and I can't even talk when I see him do things. And a couple times, you know, he did something that made me very happy, and I just like, oh, would you do this? You could ask him to do something. I don't know what his true expertise is, because he plays many different instruments and he can sing, do many things. And he, like I said, he's a composer. Well, one of my favorite theme songs is Superman. Not kidding me. It was so cool when Uhura was playing Superman on his keyboard. And it was this great thing for me. I mean, it's just something where it's kind of cool that someone's playing and it's not on YouTube watching it, but it's like it makes you want to like jump off the roof and fly like Superman. But, I mean, there's so many things that Uhura is capable of doing. He's a mastermind behind Falcare, and you can actually go on YouTube and see, you know, find out through this, I think it was either Indiegogo or Kickstarter that he did a video, and it shows Uhura talking in the video for this fundraiser. And it says, because when he was growing up, women actually helped him out. And that's why, you know, he learned to respect women. And you can tell he does, because he's just one of those type of men. He's, you know, strong in his opinion, but yet he's real. And I'm glad he is the way he is. And he's just a wonderful man, very talented. And you can check him out. He has a Facebook page. And like I said, go and visit the school in Westbrook, Maine, on Main Street. You can call there. You can check out the website yourself. Don't be shy. You can stop by. I mean, people don't bite. I mean, even though I can admit this bird there, his name is Scooby-Doo. He's, if I can pronounce this right, he's a macaw. I think it's a Maasaian. I don't know the name of it, but he's a rare species, and he's a pretty blue bird. And when you walk into the store, you see Scooby sitting there. And he does have a vocabulary, and it's really cute because he likes to tease me. Yes, Scooby-Doo, he's a male bird. You can tell because he loves women. And I've had the chance to have Scooby sit on me, and he cuddles. And this bird is just adorable. And he just has a hold of my heart, and he's just like, I cuddle with him. And a couple times he's got up on my shoulder and he didn't want to get off. I'm not kidding. Scooby-Doo is just adorable. And when no one else is watching and I'm singing with him, he bounces up and down. And like, yes, yes, I sing to a bird. But Scooby-Doo is just not any bird. He's very special. And he just makes these noises. And he can learn many different words. But sometimes I think he likes to squish me, because when I want him to talk, he won't talk. And if no one's around, he'll talk with me a lot. And it's just really funny, because when I sing the Scooby-Doo theme song, he bounces up and down, and he gets real excited. So it's kind of the thing I have with Scooby, my own little thing, but I like Scooby-Doo. He's a cute bird, but he's so gorgeous. And, you know, I've never had an experience like that with any type of birds. I mean, I had an experience with a little African gray, another one of my little favorite birds, but Scooby-Doo is gorgeous. So when you go into the shop, usually during the work hours, they have him out on the perch. But there's a sign up, don't approach the bird, because sometimes he's like a person, you know. He just like, you know, he wants attention. You know, he's like a little kid. I don't know how old Scooby-Doo is, but I did hear that he actually can live a very long time. And he's just gorgeous. And not to love an animal like that. I mean, I don't know if you want to just call him, you know, because he's a bird, but he's a mammal. And he's just absolutely gorgeous, and I just feel lucky that I get to see him from time to time. But, yeah, speaking to animals, to get back to my kitty cat, Jackie Chan Kitty, she's actually my little co-host here, so she's sitting beside me, and she likes to cuddle, and I'm very glad she's being very good, because you guys don't see it. But a couple times when I've been on the air, she kind of likes to attack me. And I'm like, what are you doing? So it's like, as I'm sitting there talking, I've got my cat chewing on me. Like, hey, pay attention to me. So now she's actually been very good. So I have a little co-host. And it's really nice when an animal, I don't know, you know, like that saying goes where, you know, how you want to rescue an animal. I think she actually rescued me, because I'm just so in love with her. And when she first showed up, she was so thin, and, I mean, I didn't know what she wanted. She kept coming out from underneath my car and yelling at me. I was like, oh, this cat's going to attack me. I had no idea. So finally, I was like, okay, what do you want? She yelled at me. She's like, wah, wah, wah. And I ended up getting food, and I fed her on the ground. Next thing you know, she's following me, and I have a cat. And now she's, her bones are not sticking out. And, you know, when I actually took her into the house, you know, she had some fleas. So I knew since she was a stray, I don't know if she would trust me or not. So I decided to step into the shower with her and give her a shower with the medications to get the fleas off of her. And it did work. And she was very calm. And now, I don't know when I started, because now when I do take a shower, she wants to get in the shower with me. And she's actually looking at me, and I'm patting her as I'm speaking to you people. And she's just an amazing cat, because she makes me very happy. And speaking of animals, I was trying to do this thing today where there's a lot of things going around on Facebook about wolves. And some people, you know, they think that wolves should be kind of put out of extinction. And I think there's an American gray wolf in Mexico where down there there's less than 500 of these wolves left. So I guess people want to eradicate them, just kill them. So, you know, if we don't start doing something, ladies and gentlemen, these wolves are going to be non-existent. It's going to be in, you know, one of those lists someday. If we don't do something, these wolves will be no more. You know, I mean, if you really think about it, these ones that became extinct because of hunting and stuff, it's really sad. I mean, why can't they just, instead of just killing them, why can't they get land and put them on reservation? Now, if anybody calls in, there's a couple things I don't want to talk about on my show, and I will disconnect you if people do call in. If you sit there and call and talk about politics, I'm not having it on my show. I'm not discussing any political agendas with anybody. I'm just a human being, and I do not talk about politics. It's my own private personal matter, and I will never discuss it with anybody. Another thing I don't discuss on air, on the radio, is anybody's sexual orientation. Now, it's none of my business what anybody is. I consider people human beings. So if anybody's going to call in and make fun of anybody's sexuality, I will totally disconnect you. This is not that type of show. My friends are my friends, and I will not have it. You know, if there's anybody that's going to call in and talk about, make fun of anybody that's Chinese or Asian, it's another thing that I'm not going to have on my show. Any people that are racist or any people that are just totally disrespectful like that, I am not having it on the show. I want to talk about dreams and love and happiness and how you can expand yourself as a human being. And I keep trying to tell people, you know, to do a dream. It's not something that's impossible. If you want to make a film, it is hard work. I mean, I know so many different independent filmmakers and actors and stunt people, models and such, and they work really hard. Not a lot of people understand if you're not doing any type of entertainment, work in the field, whether it be indie or not, you're not going to understand it is really hard work. And most of the time, what do people do in their spare time? They want to watch films or a TV, something on the internet. So I got to tell you, it's not as easy as what you think it is when you're making a film, especially if you want to do your own stunts and fights and knowing I'm going to have to get even more ripped and go through more training for the film Falcare. I mean, just starting to take horseback riding lessons, my butt's in a little bit sore. I mean, not as bad as what it is. I mean, maybe riding a bike, I think that's helped out a lot, but it's going to be more intense. Because the training stuff for, I don't know how much of horseback riding we'll be doing in the film. I know it's kind of part of the film, but it's to show that us four women, you know, we're strong. We're all different. I mean, I think my character, if you really think about it, is kind of based like Rosie the Riveter. You know, during, I think it was World War II, when all the men went to war, the women went out and worked. They worked in factories. They took over men's jobs. So I guess that's the type of character I am in Falcare. And us four women, we get whisked away. And by the gods, they want us to, you know, make a decision to fight the bad, you know, stay on the good path. So we have to make a decision. So it's going to be something that's going to have epic battles. It's going to have, you know, great music in it by the composer Jorge Zaliza. So it's something I'm looking forward to, and I can't wait to work on it more. And I've even dedicated my Saturdays to it, so other films that I'm doing, I have to kind of work my way around it. And, you know, working a job, I'm very thankful because with anything, I got to tell you, to be blessed, because a lot of people, I believe, are stuck in their lives. And this is why I'm blessed, because there was a time in my life where I was kind of like on welfare. So I wasn't happy. I don't know how other people feel. And this isn't to down people that is on welfare, but when I was on it, I was unhappy. I felt less human, and I wanted to work. And it was something like, you know, to find a job where I could support myself. That's what I wanted. So I think at the time of my life, when I was trying to do that, trying to get off welfare, the people that were around me, they weren't supportive enough. And on top of it, you know, people that were in my circle, they just were the most negative people. And it was just really kind of something I had to get away from. Now, I'm not talking about my best friends. It's just in a circle, and it's just kind of something where I'm glad I was able to get out of it. And bad things, you know, do happen. And in your past, if something bad happens, it's an experience. So everything that's coming to me now is really great. Now, that was over like 10 years ago. So it's knowing that where I am today, I'm kind of glad that did happen, because knowing if I was still like that, I'd probably be in the projects right now collecting welfare. And a lot of people, I just feel really bad, and I pray for other people, because I just don't understand how people don't know that there's a whole world out there to go out and to travel and to do things. I mean, there's so much of the world, and I wish people could see that. I wish they could see what I can see, but I just have to feel blessed with what keeps coming to me. Now, granted, okay, my big sister Charlie, my show is affiliated with Ordinary Woman, Diamond in the Rough. Now, I'm here doing the show. She let me have a slot off her show. It's a 2-hour show. But I have to run it myself and do everything, you know, make sure everything's going smooth and know what I'm doing. And I've only had it for about over a week now, so I think I'm doing pretty good, because I think one of the shows had over 577 people listen to one of the shows. So for Vienna, that's not too bad, because it can be anywhere in the world. I mean, the show, when it's broadcasted, since it's on the Internet, and now technology is really amazing, anybody from anywhere can call in and listen. And the guest call-in number is 877-907-7217. Guest call-in number, 877-907-7217. And anybody from anywhere can call in. So far, I had someone from England call in, someone from Montana. I had a couple friends back in Boston call in. So I was kind of very excited, you know, that people started calling in. And the funniest thing is, now, let me just say, okay, whatever anybody believes in, you know, that's their thing. And, you know, I believe in God. I mean, I'm not someone who's going to be like, oh, my gosh, if you don't believe what I believe in, you know, I'm not going to condemn you to death. It's just something that I believe in. So I asked God, I said, I want a bigger voice. And I was asking for him a little while. I mean, I was asking God anyway, you know, for other things, you know, to bring a big brother in my life, big sister. I mean, and it did happen. So I kept asking God, saying, I wish I had a bigger voice. So Charlie, and I call her Charlie Girl, because, you know, she's my big sister, and I'm so very thankful. She gave me these slots on the radio station to do, and I can keep talking for as long as I want. And to be able to sit here and just have, you know, talking to your phone and keep talking, I mean, it's a little bit harder than what you think it is. Because it's not something where it's scripted. You're talking, having a conversation, and people out there are listening to you. So, you know, I just like to talk about things that make me happy and such. Maybe I can talk a little bit of my experience, some bad things that I went through in my past, but not all of it, because I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I mean, I guess that's the correct term, right? But, you know, to be able to do these things, I would have never dreamed over 10 years ago I would have been doing this, because I was in an unhappy relationship, and you know, it was something where I was stuck. And if I would have, if it stayed that way, I would never be doing all the things I'm doing. And I'm just very lucky and very blessed that I'm able to do these things, and more things keep coming my way. I never would have been sitting, taking horseback riding lessons, none of that. I would have never been doing any of these films. On the film Game Plan, the one with The Rock, here's an example. one of the first films I worked on was The Game Plan. And The Game Plan starred The Rock. Now, it was with a friend. We went to The Game Plan. And we were at Gillette Stadium. Now, I was an extreme fan. And I got to say hi to Jody Purdy. Hi! She's casting agent over in Boston down there. It's like, hi, girl, what's up? Anyway, I just want to say hi. But working on the set, you know, it was really huge. One of the first film sets I worked on. Because Gillette Stadium, it's really, really huge. Now, I believe it was with Boston Casting. I could be wrong, but I think that's what the company, Boston Casting, you know, they did that film. So when they had food set up, it was in the like hallways of Gillette Stadium, but it was so far up. So to get food and snacks and stuff, I mean, most casting companies, they feed you, you know, and they give you snacks, but this was really great. They had muffins and water and so many things. So everybody was sitting still, and we were in a certain section. So, you know, I was, like, psyched because I kept yelling for The Rock. I mean, The Rock is a good-looking man. I mean, you can't miss him. He's like a brick wall. So on the field, you know, I could tell where he was, and everybody's like, Shelly, where is he? Where is he? And it's like, he's right there because he was walking a little bow-legged. I think he was going through some surgery at the time or something. He was about to go to surgery, and he had, you know, an issue. So everywhere he walked, I knew it was him and not the stand-in for him because I think he had some of his cousins or something stand-in for him during the shooting. So I stayed with character. I'm an extreme fan. I'm a woman. You know, The Rock, the character's name is Joe Kingsman, and I was like, ah, Joe, I want to hug from you, Joe. So I kept doing that the whole day. And people were like, oh, my God, this is crazy. But people were like, you know, they're sitting around me, and I had the energy, and I was bringing it, and it was just something where I was like, okay, I'm going to stay in character. I was like, I want to hug. I kept yelling and screaming. So it was like on downtime, everybody was sitting down in the stands at the Gillette Stadium, and The Rock was on the field. So I went to go. I was like, yo, I'm going to go up and get some food and stuff. And people were like, oh, get me a muffin, get me this. So I run up to all the stairs up in Gillette Stadium. I'm getting all this stuff, and I'm running down the stairs. And everybody in my section was like, hey, crazy girl. The Rock was just standing there in your seat, and I'm like, what? Oh, my gosh. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It was very quiet. I'm holding a muffin in my hand, and I'm holding all these things. So I scream really, really, really loud, and I'm in the middle, not where you're sitting, but, you know, in the alley, if that's what you call where you go down the stairs to get to the seats. You know, I'm standing there and I scream real loud, Joe, I want to hug from you, Joe. I swear to God, people's jaws dropped. And The Rock looked up at me. I am not kidding. He pointed up to me. He's like, hey. And I'm sitting there. I don't remember the whole conversation. I was like, I want to hug from you. He's like pointing up and like, hey, you know. And I swear, I think he raised that one eyebrow. You know when he does that look and he raises the one eyebrow and he's pointing up at me. I think he told me to be good or something. I was like, I love you. And everybody's like, oh, my God. And I think people thought like, oh, maybe she's going to get kicked out of here. But it was just something where that moment, you know, where The Rock was just playing with me, and I got so excited. The muffin that I had in my hand, I squeezed it, and the top part of the muffin shot up in the air. I don't know where it went, but I was jumping up and down, and it was just really, really funny how The Rock just, you know, was really sweet playing along with me. So they kept placing us after that, just placing us all around the Gillette Stadium, and half the people that were there, they weren't people in the stands. They were dummies in the seats, I swear. What they had were dummies. I don't know the correct term, but it was a head and a torso, and they were moving them around. So I got moved around all over Gillette Stadium, and, you know, staying in character. And, gosh, I'm doing everything improv now, but yelling, you know, to The Rock the whole time, I want to hug you. There was a wrestler, and he came up to me really cute. He was dressed up as a football player. So he came up to me. He's like, I'm not The Rock, but do you want a hug? And he was really cute and adorable. And I was like, okay. So he gave me a hug. And I'll have to look up on his Facebook page again because I always forget his name. But he was very sweet, you know, giving me a hug and stuff. And he was adorable. So the next thing I know, looking over the side of me, looking down, and I was over by myself with all the dummy torsos. And, like, we all got separated, but we were in the corner of Gillette Stadium. I go look down, and at the time, all the New England Patriots were beside me. And I was like, hey, guys, New England Patriots are over there. And they're like, oh, Shelly, get an autograph. And I'm like, I was going to bother with these guys, and it pissed a lot of people off because the Patriots, they were right beside me and looking down. I mean, I probably would have, I don't know if I would have gotten an autograph or not, because I try not to bother people on set, because you're signed, when you sign something when you're working on set, you're not supposed to bother the actors. You're not supposed to take pictures and such. I mean, a lot of independent films, people like that, but when you're working on the big film sets, they don't want you to take pictures. So the couple of big film sets that I've worked on, I've never taken pictures. I don't even think I've had my cell phone out, you know, when we were filming. I actually had it in my pocket or in my pocketbook, because it's, okay, this is what we're going to do. I listen to what, you know, what you have to do on set. Like I said, I'm reliable, and I do what I do. I'm there to work and not to date, and I take, it very seriously. So then another thing that happened to me on the set of The Game Plan, what was really funny, is the fact that there was a guy there, and I don't know, we started talking about action films, and I started talking about a capoeira, because I was still training at the time. We're in the parking lot practicing the Jenga, and it's something to do with capoeira. We were just doing a little bit here and there, and then I had, people asked me for autographs that day. People were following me around, and I had a ball. And it's just that people were really nice. After I did that scream into the lock, people would just follow me around. I don't know what it was. Maybe they just liked my energy. I mean, that's what I do when I'm on set. I'll bring it. And I could give you references to, like, people that I worked with, and they're like, they're happy that I worked with on the set. And basically, if I have an energy, that's how I get invited to work on sets, you know, because they want that. I mean, that's what you got to do about 10, 12 hours a day. You got to keep bringing it. Now, imagine screaming for 10 to 12 hours a day, going, yeah, love you, like doing things over and over again. I mean, you're just seeing the film, 2 hours or 2.5 hours. I mean, sometimes they make the films longer, but when you're doing a scene, that scene could be a couple of days. It could last anywhere between 12 to 14 hours, every day. And that's a lot of work. And for what I've done so far, the stuff that I've been working on, realizing, it is a lot of hard work. And I do, like, once again, I do give props to a lot of my indie filmmakers, the actors and stuff, because, they work full time and they have to take the money out of their pocket. So, it's something where I do give them a lot of credit. And once again, I give a lot of credit to the stuntmen that I know. It's just something where I have to start doing a little bit of stunts and a little bit of fights myself. It's not a lot, but, man, what they do, wow. It's amazing that, they can do this for hours at a time, just keep going what they're doing. The martial artists, I mean, these are like black belts, have been training for many years, and, it's something where it's given me a lot more respect to the stuntmen that actually do those things. And when I talk to people, and when people say, oh, I don't care about seeing who's doing the stunts, that's kind of a big insult, a really, really big insult. Because those stuntmen, those stunt people, those stunt men and women, they're the ones that are doing the stunts, and they're making the actors look good. So for someone to turn around and say that they don't think that, it doesn't matter about the people that are doing the stunts, well, let me tell you something. It does matter to me. So the stunt people, the martial artists, they make the actors look good, because, quite frankly, I'd rather see the actors doing their own stunts. Maybe they're not the best in the world, but to me, I give people that actually do their own stunts and their own fight scenes, I give them a lot more props. And speaking of films, I'm very, 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 very excited about The Expendables next week. And I think my sister and I, Charlie Girl, are actually going to go see it with me. And it has a whole cast, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Van Damme, who's playing the bad guy, Dolph Lundgren, and yes, Jet Li. I mean, I could go on and ramble on everybody. Jason Stratman was in the film Safe with one of my brothers, Jay Giannone, from Boston. So, Jay said that Jason Stratman was, like, a great guy. So it's kind of like, it's just like all these connections with people, in the field, and hearing all these things, like, oh, the person's a really great guy. And then You know, if they play a bad guy or something or a badass, it's kind of like, you're like, really? You know, you meet people, and it's kind of like, you know, and they're nice, and then all this, do this stuff on film, it's, that's acting. You know, it's really kind of amazing, because I tend to think that a lot of the bad guys and also a lot of the villains, from what I know, the guy that was actually the original Mike Myers, where I sort of talked a little bit with him on Facebook, and he actually really is a sweet guy. Now, this is another example. Tony Moran, the original Mike Myers, you know, go around killing people to film. And he tends to be a real sweet guy in real life. And when I say a sweet guy, don't take any offense. It's just something I hope you, Tony, if you're out there listening, please don't take any offense. It's really a good thing that you're a sweet guy. And this is what acting is. Because most of the time, the people that play the psychos are the most normal person. And it's kind of amazing. You sit there like, wow, they can bring it. I mean, you know, I'm dying to see another film, which Tony was in, and it was directed by Kevin MacDonald. It's called Meg, and I just hope it just scares me, because I love horror movies, I love sci-fi, you know, I'm not really a chick flick kind of girl. I mean, there's some chick flicks I might want to watch, but, you know, I love, you know, the kind of ones that just make me just feel alive. And when I was back in Boston, a lot of my girlfriends and I, we'd go see horror films together, and we were just so silly. I mean, get me to watch a horror film in a theater, yeah, I like jumping out of my seat, because you want to go and feel entertained. I mean, I don't really like to go, and I think in some places with 3D, if it's, you know, I mean, you must be paying, what, $15 now at night? I mean, just one ticket some places. I mean, some places it's cheaper. I mean, up here in Maine it's not too bad. But, you know, the tickets themselves, I mean, pay that money. Say, for instance, I'm just going to round it off, you're paying $15. And, you know, I'd rather see a drama at home, because if you're going to pay $15 to go sit in a theater and cry, why? I would rather watch it in my home and just sit and cry at home. You know, it's just really, I don't want to go to a theater and cry. I mean, granted, I watched Jackie Chan. And I, you know, a lot of people don't realize with Jackie, he's actually, you know, he's done real film. He has great emotions, and people don't really realize it, because they only think he's an action person, but he's done other films where it was part of China's history. You'll have to look him up, like 1911 and a couple other films that he's done. One was based on a true story, and other films like Little Big Soldier and a few films. But, you know, if he's sad and he's crying, I mean, the expression on his face, I mean, it's just something that looks real. Jackie doesn't seem like he's acting, and he's really good at what he does. Now, I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but when you're a true fan of someone, you know, it's something that becomes part of your life, and you love their work, and you really appreciate them. And what a lot of people do is, as a person gets older, they're like, oh, they're old, and they just want to throw them away. Now, with Jackie Chan, I'm going to give a lot of respect to him. I'm going to say, you know, this is what he should be called, is he's actually older. And he does so much, and, you know, it's kind of like, well, Jackie Chan can't, you know something? Jackie Chan's done over 100 films and many other things. You know, he's done so much his whole entire life. And you're going to tell me you're going to want to sit there and call Jackie Chan old. You know, like with anybody in the entertainment business, Jackie Chan has been around for a very long time. Now, he's not a fad that's just in for a moment or for 10 years. Jackie's been around for a long, long time. Now, what I'm doing is opening up my IMDb page, and do forgive me if anybody calls in, I can't open both of these at the same time. Now, going to Jackie Chan's IMDb page and pulling it up, you know, 2011, he did a film called 1911, which marks his 100th film. And just going back and look at what he's done, he just got done doing Chinese Zodiac. He was a voice in Kung Fu Panda 2. He did Shaolin. He was a cook. And actually, that film, he turned down the lead role to play the cook, which was really good, because he's smacking people with big, huge wok. I mean, this wok looks like something I could sit in, and I swear I want that wok for my for my film, The Dishwasher, which I am happy to dedicate my film, The Dishwasher, to Jackie Chan to thank and dedicate to him. And my film, The Dishwasher, I will personally hand to Jackie Chan. And then just going back, looking over in film, 2010, he did The Karate Kid, the remake, which was really well done. And he did Little Big Soldier, The Spy Next Door. I don't know what The Legend of Silk Boy is. I'll have to find out. And what was this? The Founding of a Republic, Shinjuku Incident. Okay, The Founding of a Republic, 2009. Shinjuku Incident, 2009. Kung Fu Panda, 2008. The Forbidden Kingdom, 2008. Rush Hour 3, 2007. Robin B. Hood, 2006. The Myth, 2005. New Police Story, 2004. The Twins Effect 2, Around the World in 80 Days. I don't even know how to say this. Dialow, well, you can look up. It says 2004. 2003, The Medallion. 2003, Qin Ji Bin, Shanghai Nights. 2002, The Tuxedo. 2001, Rush Hour 2, The Accidental Spy. 2000, Shanghai Noon. 1999, if I can say this, Da Jing Shun Yun. You can also look it up. 1999, still going, King of Comedy. Gorgeous. 1998, Rush Hour. Jackie Chan, Who Am I? 1998. 1997, Mr. Nice Guy. 1996, Jackie Chan's First Strike, which I do happen to have one of my favorite scenes in there when he's hitting people with a ladder. So that's like one of my favorite fight scenes with Jackie Chan. 1995, Thunderbolt. 1995, Rumble in the Bronx. 1994, The Legend of Drunken Master. 1993, Supercop 2. Crime Story, City Hunter, 1992. Am I reading these right? Maybe I sent them out of wrong, but I'm pulling up his IMDb page. Supercop, 1992. Twin Dragons, 1992. He made a cameo appearance in another film in 1992. 1991, Operation Condo, Asian Hawk, which is hence comes back in the 2012 film, you know, continuation from there. 1990, Island of Fire. 1989, Miracles, Mr. Canton and Lady Rose. 1988, Police Story 2. 1988, Dragons Forever. 1987, Project A2. 1986, Armor of Guard. 1986 again, if I can say this correctly, New Zhija Paijun. 1985, Police Story. 1985, Heart of a Dragon. Another film, 1985. The Protector, 1985. Another film, 1985. 1984... Wheels on Mills, 1984, Cannonball Run 2. Is that right, 1984? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, 1984. And just going back, 1983, Project A, Winners and Sinners, Fearless Hyena 2, Dragon Strike. Just going back, 1981, that was the first time I saw Jackie Chan, The Cannonball Run. Going back, 1980, The Big Brawl. I mean, do I need to go on any further? And just everything that he's done. I mean, he was even in Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee. He got his neck snapped. I mean, he was actually in there, and he actually, when they interviewed him, you know, Jackie was very excited. You know, he was talking about Bruce Lee, and he said about the last time he saw Bruce Lee alive, he was going out bowling, and Bruce was like, he said, you know, Jackie, can I come with you? So they take a cab, go to the bowling alley, and Bruce is there, and he said this was the last time he seen Bruce Lee alive. And he was wearing those big high heel kind of boots, you know, with the bell bottoms, and he was bowling, and Bruce was like, thank you, and Bruce Lee got back in the cab, and Jackie Chan said that was the last time he saw Bruce Lee alive. You know, and he says he was a very amazing man. And the thing is, a lot of people want to ask Jackie if, you know, he'd want to fight Bruce Lee, and it's the stupidity of what people have to ask people. I mean, Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, two totally different men, and I really don't think they really want to fight each other, but people ask these questions. It's like, those are questions that would not even answer my mind, because Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan are great men. And going back to the beginning, you know, before I started rambling off the names of Jackie Chan's film, once again, Jackie Chan has done so much. He's not a fad. He's not an in thing. He's been around for decades. And Jackie Chan never goes out of style. The other thing, too, is, you know, it's just his way of life, and martial arts has become part of him. He doesn't do competition. Like, you know, he's older and such, but, you know, he learned when he was little. Jackie Chan was signed over by his mother and father to a drama theater martial arts academy. I'm learning about Jackie Chan's life. Now, I don't know everything about Jackie Chan. I think I know as much as, like, the next person, but there's really some super fans out there. They know, like, every little thing. But, I mean, I pretty much know a lot about Jackie. But, you know, when he was learning how to do things and he didn't do them right, they used to beat him. And nowadays, I think it might be called child abuse, but when Jackie didn't do a flip, they used to beat him. If he didn't do something, they'd beat him. You know, it's kind of like, you better learn how to do this or you're going to get smacked. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of, I think that's why he's good at what he does. And, you know, he's got a lot of injuries. He's got, I hear he teases people with a hole in his head that he has, and he almost died from an injury with that, with a hole in his head. He actually, I think, fell, and was, from what he was saying, it was something where the injury to his hole in his head, it wasn't really that difficult of a stunt. And I think he's broken every bone in his body. So that's kind of like, you know, I mean, that's just a miracle that Jackie Chan is even alive. And I'm so glad he is, because every time I see a Jackie Chan film, I'm very happy and pleased with it. You know, it's just something, it just makes me so, feel so much better after I see a Jackie Chan film. And it's just something that I love. I mean, to each their own. I'm just a Jackie Chan type of girl. So, anyway, if anybody wants to call in, 877-907-7217. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be on the air, but once again, it's 877-907-7217. If you want to call in talking about dreams, you know, whatever, what makes you happy, you know, love, life. And, you know, it's something, like I said, it is a, it's kind of so weird to think, to look back on my life, where I'd never go back, and I'd never change anything to the way my life is nowadays. I'm very happy, and I'm content, and when I do get to do things, I am given chances. I mean, I have to work hard with what I'm doing. I know that people, they'll never get to do half the things that I'm doing. And I see people that are in the industry, like my big sister Charlie, there's things that I want to do that she's doing. But in time, that'll come, and I know everything will keep coming because I'm working. And you're not handed anything. And just because you may know people in the business, it doesn't mean it's going to get you a pot. You actually have to work for it. I mean, there's a lot of people you probably do hear that are really big names that are handed something, and you're like, oh, man. But, you know, I think with hard work and such, I will end up working with Jackie Chan. No one can change my mind with that. I mean, I'll be like, okay, yeah, whatever. But no one can change my mind and say whatever. And if people make fun of me, I don't care. Because it's kind of like, this is my thing that I'm going to do. And I've never given up. But I know people do regret things in their lives. You know, it's something where I know some people, they wish they were in my footsteps, in my shoes. And it's just something where, you know, all I can do is pray and just hope that their lives turn out a lot better. And I'm just very happy and very thankful. I know I'm repeating myself, but I would not change anything the way my life is going. I just want to keep learning more and more. And if I get on film sets and people, you know, have more experience than I am, I like to learn from them. And I haven't gone to any events lately because I'm really busy working. So it's something where I feel very lucky and very blessed. And let's see, I think I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to play, I can say this right, Afiantis. I'm going to try to play a couple of songs. This is by Pisces Project, and it's by Aurora Zakor DeLisa and his wife Sonari. So let me see if I can play. Give me one moment. Thank you. Well, that was one of the songs from my brother, Hora Z DeLisa. And I'm going to play another song. This one is called Battle Song. And actually, you can feel it, like as if you want to fight. This is what I'm talking about, epic music. So let me play this one here. That was Battle Song by one of my big brothers, Ahura Zakor DeLisa, and it's called, their group's called Pisces Project. His wife, Sanara, sings with them, and she's very pretty and has a beautiful, beautiful voice. Once again, this weekend, there is a paranormal psychic fair at Fort Knox in Prospect, Maine, and Ahura will be there. It's Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can meet with people who believe in things unusual. This unique event features psychics, ghost hunters, UFOologists, and featured speaker Ahura Z. DeLisa. He's a natural telepath, a metaphysician, and a psychic policeman, a natural exorcist. And it is Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days. It's regular fort admission and a $2 event donation in, it's in Prospect, Maine. So you can actually Google that. And you can actually, once again, check out Ahura's school. It's Unicorn Cove. And it's in Westbrook, Maine on Main Street. You can come in and see their shop. And you can, once again, meet Scooby-Doo, the bird that likes talk. He's a big blue bird. And speaking of another brother, Crosby Tatum, one of the guys that I've worked with quite a few times, and he actually just got funded for his film. I don't know how much he got funded for, but I'm going to bring up his Facebook page. And this is for Crosby on his film, Surprise, Surprise. And there's an actress, and she just got casted. Her name is Amber Michelle, and she joins the cast as a female lead. I guess she gets a lot of work. I don't know if this was the girl in General Hospital or not. I'm really not too sure. It could be a different girl, but she does a lot. And he just put that on his Twitter about 9 hours ago, Crosby Tatum. And I don't know if I'm going to get a chance, but I might be making an appearance in that film. It's called Surprise, Surprise. And his company is Triceptive Studios. Triceptive Studios for life! I was actually in a pilot for a TV series, and also I was in a video called Seal. And it's by Laughing Cat, which one of his partners, he's a rapper and boxer, and that's actually the other guy that's in the video, too. But what I want to do is play the song Seal. It's very upbeat, so I'm going to play that. Here we go.
Yeah, last rip. Cat a pee. Miss Smith and Envy. For a little 9 yard, yeah. Check this out. Yeah, Triceptus Studios. Ha, check it. Yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toasting it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the bar. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant all on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. If that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always touching on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. Ooh, you just make me feel.
I'm time player. Used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buff wild, I really didn't care. Had the flamed up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to steer. Living like Liberace where I kept the spear. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What you playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Book you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But do the spell, don't waste no time. Ooh, you just make me feel. Ooh,
Gentleman was another one of my brothers, one of my little bros back in Boston, and I must say, Triceptor Studios for life. So I brought up on Facebook, you can actually go to Surprise Surprise about the movie, and it should be start filming soon. It's by Triceptor Studios. It is a romantic comedy, and I'm going to read the plot outline via Facebook. Crosby Tyler, a smart but socially underconfident college student, falls in danger of failing his class at the prestigious Adams University. To save his grades, he reluctantly accepts a final class project from his lovely yet supportive teacher, Miss Lehman, that charges him to find out what attracts a female to a male from different psychological perspectives and why. It's a project that will take Crosby's grades and his scholarship all in one fell swoop. It's also a project that no other student in Ms. Lyman's previous class has been able to successfully complete in the past 2 years, all the while challenging Crosby to do something he has been afraid to do all his life, and do right for that matter, successfully talk to women. Hope, however, comes in the form of Cynthia Simpson, a beautiful, charming, yet naive woman from an online website called letterspace.com. who wants to get to know Crosby based on his personality. Fearing what Cynthia might think about his looks, Crosby unwittingly tricks his womanizing best friend Jay into switching identities to date Cynthia and grab data on her reactions toward Jay in a public setting. Jay goes along with Crosby's plans and hit it off with Cynthia, who is falling deeply for Jay, while totally oblivious to Crosby's scheme. Meanwhile, Crosby begins to fall deep for Cynthia based on their verbal interactions with each other, while a displeased Jay falls for a sweet and lovely small business owner named AP, throwing Crosby's plan into deep peril. High stakes, high rewards, and high hilarity are all on the line as Crosby must do everything he can to maintain his desperate ploy to everyone. Otherwise, his present and future surprisingly might go all up in smoke. So it's starring Mayor Gilbert, Crosby Tatum, Jaquan Holland, April Patrick Holland. It's directed by Crosby. So he's doing a lot of things. So you can actually, you know, you can go and check out that page. And he has two pages. Crosby Tatum has a couple of them. So if you want to go or if you want to ask me about Crosby, I can tell you personally, 877-907-7217. Anyway, it looks like I might want to end the show. So what I'm looking for is to see what song I want to actually end it with. Let's see. I think another song, which is kind of a funky little song, it's actually by a horror easily. It's called Get Off Your Seat. It's really kind of funny. Anyway, this is the song, the last song of the night.
Down, rang your bell. Time is changing, everybody cries. The one who fails is the one who dies.
Well, it looks like there's a correction. I actually have to do a correction because I was trying to read the correct notice about Surprise, Surprise. The last person that I was talking about in Surprise, Surprise, that film, it's actually Amber Michelle is starring in it. So there's a correction right there. And I just want to say, once again, it's Amber Michelle that's actually starring in Surprise, Surprise. So I got a little bit confused. I hope that fixes everything right there. Sorry, Crosby. Anyway, another thing I wanted to talk about, I was going to end the show, but I just wanted to give props to another show. It's called Day Zero, and it's a web series. And there's a person, a creative mind, that is actually a mastermind of this web series. And it's not just your regular zombie type of film. They're actually like hybrids in this film. It has a story, you know, it's apocalyptic. And it's by Cal Newen. And I'm going to bring up the site on here. And what is it actually is about? The year is 2112. The world's population has been wiped out, leaving behind only hybrids, shadow of what human beings once were. Left unharmed by the fallout of the last great war of eight people who are struggling for survival, trying to avoid their past and forge new beginnings. A drug addict, an army captain, a killer, a deaf boy and his sister, a southern Bayou deadshot, I don't know what that is, but maybe someone who shoots a gun, a southern Bayou deadshot, a hopeless optimist, and a prostitute. They're not zombie because they actually never died. This is by Blake Edwards, the survivor. And it also says, I should be dead. Out of the near 7 billion people who once lived on this godforsaken planet, there are 8 of us left. Season 1 released the schedule. It says here, I guess this probably started last season. There's quite a few of them. So you can go there. There's actually a website and the plot outline. I think there's more of it here. The Day Zero synopsis. The Earth's population was nearly decimated as a result of World War IV. Science and technology had advanced beyond ethical bounds, so most of mankind reversed course. Eventually, global dictatorships violated the United Nations Bioethics Treaty, secretly stockpiling arms. As a result, an oblivious America was attacked. Retaliation with augmented nuclear weaponry had unforeseen effects, affecting most survivors in the Western Hemisphere and altering the rest. Those infected became ravenous beasts, feeding off the remaining population. But pockets of humanity remain. In the middle of Utah are 8 survivors. 8 survivors, what will they do now? So the series itself is doing pretty good. It's an official selection award-winning web episode shorts, 2012, the 16th annual Indie Gathering International Film Festival. It was an official finalist TV pilot competition, 2012 Las Vegas Film Festival, Diamond Award winner television productions competition, 2011 California Film Awards. And I really do think Cal has taken this script and, you know, he's changing it in a little bit of his own version. It seems like, you know, it's something that would be great for television if people want to invest in it. Just get in contact with Cal Newen. He's actually the creator of Day Zero. He wasn't the original writer, but I think I'm kind of pleased with what he actually did. He took it, and he's making something really great from it. So you can actually go and check that out and check out his page. And, you know, another thing about Cal, I mean, he's going to be in the next show. So it's going to be on a Wednesday night, or actually Wednesday when he gets done with, you know, editing and such. I don't know if it's going to be in 2 Wednesdays, not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. I'll have to ask him again. I'll have him on the show once again. So that is Day Zero. And you can see it. You can go to the webpage and like that. And you can actually go to his, you know, his page and friend him. So, anyway, that looks like it for now. I didn't know what else I could end the show with. I don't know what song this is. Maybe this is a good song to end it with.